Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make band-aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after 12 here on the new Curtis and Ebony show. It is pretty hot and humid outside, Curtis, but it feels real good in here in our air-conditioned facilities, brought to us by NJDiet.com. I tell you, somebody else pretty hot around the collar has got to be Donald Trump Jr. Of course, he's making major headlines after the New York Times leaked that he indeed had meetings with Russians, a Russian attorney, after he denied that initially. Then he corrected the record and said, oh, wait, I remember I did have this meeting with said Russian female attorney at first he said under the context of Russian adoption. But wait, no, I forgot. Actually, it's because she promised that she had incriminating evidence of Hillary Rodham Clinton, who was then running against my father for the United States presidency. So that's why we took the meeting. I tell you, Curtis, it's amazing how forgetful people, particularly the Trump administration, gets around this issue of meeting with Russians.
Well, remember, the president has gone on record before saying we had no involvement with Russia. There was no collusion, no collaboration, no meetings, as far as I know. But he has distanced himself from this situation by claiming his son, his son-in-law, and Manfred, who was his campaign manager, didn't relate this meeting to him. It seems everybody in the Trump administration, when it comes to meeting with Russians, they have instant amnesia. They become robots. You know, they
forget.
Have dementia.
You know, everybody can't remember everything. But that's a good point, Curtis. Everybody going so far out of their way at this point to make sure that the president himself being protected. Last night, I got to tell you, if I look a little less than my normal chipper self, it's because I'm a little bit tired. We actually had a live show last night on the Fox News Specialist. We normally air 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Last night we did that show, and then we came back and did a live show at 11 p.m. Why? Well, because my friend and colleague Sean Hannity had Donald Trump Jr. on exclusively on the Fox News program Hannity night at 10.
Softball interview.
That was a hard-hitting interview from my dear friend Sean.
Tough question. And by the way, I noticed Ebony Kardashian Williams. Mm-hmm. You're wearing the same dress you were wearing yesterday. If you go to WABCRadio.com/live, she didn't even bother to take a shower, change,
that
get dolled
up.
That
is not true, Curtis. I thought you were going to impress me and notice that this is actually the same dress that is on the side of the Fox News building. This is the same orange Ted Baker dress that my promo photos were taken in. And I was really going to be like, wow, you really are a diva.
No, more so than
I thought.
It's just suffering from sleep deprivation. You don't even know
suffering.
That you didn't even change your dress.
Curtis, you're tripping.
But
yesterday I had on blue, and then I wore a bright yellow for the 11 p.m.
Oh, so you changed. Canary yellow.
Yeah, canary yellow, because I wanted to wake up. But let's listen here to what Donald Trump Jr. told my friend and colleague Sean Hannity around how much Donald Trump himself didn't know about this.
Did you tell your father anything about this?
No. It was such a nothing. There was nothing to tell. I mean, I wouldn't have even remembered it until you start scouring through the stuff. It was literally just a wasted 20 minutes, which was a shame.
Are you laughing at him, Curtis? Yeah, Not buying it?
You're meeting with an attorney who supposedly is representing the Kremlin. That this kook friend of yours who arranges for Russian entertainers to appear, Gladstone, Goodstone,
well,
whatever.
That was their booker they used for the Miss Universe pageant, Curtis.
Right,
you know,
but
priorities.
Every email is confidential, Hillary dirt. Kremlin. I mean, come on. You didn't think that was an important meeting? You couldn't wait to take the meeting. Mm-hmm. And look, it may well have been that Hillary Rodham Clinton and her sycophants, toadies and lackeys, Podesta, if all of a sudden a foreign government had come to them and said, we've got dirt on Donald Trump and you're run against him, they would have taken a meeting too.
Of course.
This is what we're dealing with right now.
Of course.
And the guy acts like it's no biggie.
Yeah, what do you want from him, Curtis? I mean, so that became an issue, and we talked about it last night on the program. I want to get your take. This notion of the fact that nothing came of the meeting really sealing the deal that it was a nothing meeting. But really, you know, I told Eric Bolling, that's really not the point. It's the intention behind taking the meeting. But Hannity did address it. I don't know if I'll say he pressed it, but he addressed that issue as well.
Again, I didn't know there was any credibility. I didn't know if there was anything behind it. I can't vouch for the information. You know, someone sent me an email. I can't help what someone sends me.
You know, I
read it. I responded accordingly. And if there was something interesting there, I think it's pretty common. This is pre, like, Russia fever. This is pre-Russia mania. You know, this is 13 months ago before. I think the rest of the world was talking about that, trying to build up this narrative about Russia. So I don't even think my sirens, you know, went up or the antennas went up.
He said in this email communication he would love to take the meeting. He would love to have the information.
Yeah,
what
if
is
it's
he
what you
about?
Say it's going to be, I would love it. Look, obviously, we knew what he was expecting. He didn't get what he expected. I think that's what he's holding on to for dear life
at
this point, Curtis.
Do we know that?
Well, if we take his word.
Well, look, how can you believe anybody?
And her word.
The Russian liar.
Ooh. Curtis
says she didn't represent the Kremlin.
You mean Russian lawyer?
Although she claims that Trump Jr. and Kushner and Manafort were pressing her to divulge information about Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign. So it seems like we're in a sea of lies here where people are trying to protect their own self-interest. This meeting did occur. There was email correspondence. We have received now Trump Jr.'s texts back and forth with this Kukulamunga, this former Brit who is basically a surrogate of the Russian government. And it just doesn't look good. The optics are bad. Even the New York Post, which constantly goes to the mat, constantly in defense of everything that the Trump administration does. Its editorial board published its lead editorial today that says Donald Trump Jr. is an idiot, and he clearly is.
That's funny you mentioned the Post, because that came up last night on the Fox News specialist as well.
If there was something that came from it that was shady, if it was a dangerous...
No. There's a Fox News cut from the specialist where we actually talked about, because Juan Williams felt similar to you, Curtis.
You got to understand, yeah. Brian the Mongolooch, he's still on vacation.
Okay, he's had to ease back into it, but he's got it now.
If Huma Abedin or Chelsea Clinton had said yes to an email that came from somebody overseas, let's say the Chinese, who are not our friends in many cases, and said, we have information on Donald Trump and we want to have a meeting and talk about it, what would your reaction be at this moment? You guys would go ballistic.
Again, I'll talk about Christopher Steele, who put together the Russian dossier.
Oh, you don't want to answer the question. You don't want to answer, because you know that this, if the shoe was on the other foot, you guys would be kicking high heels and saying this is evidence.
Okay, so that was that exchange around if the shoe was on the other foot, which, you know, Bolling knee jerks to that every time. That's expected of him. But then we did actually talk about the New York Post.
What about the New York Post headline tomorrow about, you know, in the editorial? It's a conservative paper.
Editorial.
A conservative paper
New York
saying.
Post editorial? Is a conservative?
The New York Post?
Yes.
Holy smokes. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. I quit. I quit.
Is Eric Bolling also suffering like you from sleep deprivation? He doesn't recognize that the New York Post is a conservative newspaper?
No, it's a fair and balanced. It's a fair and balanced paper.
Yeah, there's nothing fair and balanced in this country. Everyone has their own twist, their
agenda.
Own prejudice that they bring to their news reporting. But the New York Post, mostly throughout the primary campaign and the general election, was pro-Trump all the way. They've been pro-Trump through the beginning of his administration. On occasion, they'll take him to task. But in this particular case, with your lead editorial says Donald Trump Jr. is an idiot.
I'll,
how do you defend Donald Trump Jr.?
I'll be a little conspiracy theorist on this, Curtis. I actually think the Post is doing tremendous favor by calling him an idiot. Because if he's an idiot, then it's dumb, it's bad judgment, but it's not illegal, and it's not going to be a huge problem from that perspective. So playing dumb, if you will, on this one, calling him out as an idiot actually saves him.
Ah, I see. So
see what
technology.
I did there? Yeah, this is actually still a win for the Donald.
Political technology. Yep. I don't see how the Donald wins anything here because the cloud of Russian collusion hangs over the administration. Nobody's talking health care. Nobody's talking about reform of the tax system. Nobody's about the budget.
He should be glad nobody's talking health care because that's also a disaster.
Well, it's a disaster, because he is distracted, deflective, and he is not involved or participating in any of the meetings at the Senate. Has resolved to spend an additional 2 weeks on in order to craft some kind of reform package to Obamacare. But this is all based on what Trump does with his inner circle, which is deny, ignore, delay, and then finally acknowledge. I call it the DID syndrome. Deny it, ignore it, delay responding to it, and then eventually acknowledge it and then try to move on and claim, oh, but there's no facts to this collusion. Well, what? Somebody reaches out from the Kremlin, and this person you know is telling you it's from the Kremlin. This is a prosecutor from the Kremlin who has damaging information on Hillary Rodham Clinton. And you say, love it, can't wait to see it. And then you get your brother-in-law involved, Kushner, and you get Manafort, the campaign manager, involved. That's a big meeting.
Yeah, it's a big meeting. And that's why when Hannity asked him about, you know, did you go there as a representative of the campaign? And he could deny it as, no, I was just the son. But when you bring Manafort into it, Curtis, now you got a serious problem because Manafort can't play dumb. He can't be the idiot because he's done this way too many times.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Ray first up in the queue, calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Ray, Ray.
Curtis. I've known you since you had your radio show with your ex-wife.
Which one, Ray? Just kidding. Ha ha. Go ahead.
My question to you, Curtis, is if somebody you knew came to you and said to you, look, Curtis, I know this person that got some dirt on Trump or on Hillary, would you have taken that meeting?
Absolutely. As part of negative research, you take meetings with the devil himself in a campaign, and all politicians have done that, except in this case, Trump Jr. acts like he can't remember the meeting. It wasn't about digging up dirt on Hillary. It was about adoption. It's the lie. It's not the fact that he did it.
That's wrong, Curtis, because if you listen to him, he took it for the information. But when he finally met with the woman, she wasn't giving him any information. She was looking about adoption.
Well, Ray, that's if we take her and him at their words. Well, truthfully, none of us were there. We'll never really know what was exchanged.
Well, that's that old saying, only God knows.
Well, yeah, that's always a nice
But who's
default.
God? Is it Putin's God, you know, the Orthodox God up high in the sky, or is it J.C., Trump Jr.'s God? Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jonathan, who's calling from Fort Lee. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Jonathan?
Hello, everybody. So there's two things going on here. The first thing is, should he have really notified the FBI or any other legal entity to that he had this information that somebody on the Clinton campaign. The other thing is, you know, what is he guilty of just keeping his mouth shut? So my question is this. If my friend or somebody called me up and said, look, Jonathan, hey, I want to talk about something, and we meet and they talk about a bank job, but I didn't think they were serious and I didn't say anything, am I liable?
Under the RICO Conspiracy Act, if you are aware of a crime being discussed, and this is not a crime, meeting with this attorney about possibly digging up dirt with Hillary Rodham Clinton during the campaign, but if you were aware of a crime and you said nothing, you might be dragged into a RICO Conspiracy Act charge, yes.
Yeah, so let's see. You know, this hypothetical that Ray's posing here, Hannity must have anticipated it at least somewhat because Donald Trump Jr. did address it.
If there was something that came from it that was shady, if it was a danger to national security, I would obviously bring it right to someone. But I didn't know what anything was. It turns out it was nothing. And therefore, there's nothing to be able to actually talk about.
The whole contact took how long? How long was the meeting?
Oh, 20 minutes or so.
About 20 minutes. And Jared left after 5 or 10?
Yes.
Like she said, and Paul Manafort was on his...
On his phone.
The whole time.
Pretty much. Listen, like I said, it became pretty apparent that this was not what we were in there talking about.
See, this is why everything needs to be taped, recorded, so that you can just offer it up and everybody can see exactly what happened.
This is offering a backdoor excuse for Kushner leaving after 5 or 10 minutes, mm-hmm. claiming Manafort was on the phone, wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
This is all conscribed. And again, You're meeting with people from Russia who may have damaging information on Hillary Rodham Clinton. It would suggest that all throughout the campaign you would have done that. And yet all we've heard from the president is nobody met with the Russians. Nobody tried to get or extract any information.
No.
All we
get know Putin.
Is a
know
sea
him.
Of lies, lies, and more lies. And the more people dig, investigators and the press digs, and I know a lot of people hate the investigators and hate the press, they're going to dig up more and more. And you can't constantly keep saying, I don't remember meeting with Russians. I have no idea. It was an inconsequential meeting. You had these meetings, come clean. You were digging for negative research. So was Hillary and her team. Just bring that out instead of all these evasive, I didn't know. It wasn't what I thought it was. Gee, it wasn't before the drop that Snowden made on the DNC. And see emails, a poor little me.
Well, you know what,
Curtis? Stop playing the victim, Donald Trump Jr.
A lot of people have that same concern, but a lot of people also say this is just the mainstream media going after Trump like they always do.
Well,
what, you know?
He's putting cheese out for them to go
after. Oh, he's totally giving them ammunition, but does that mean you go keep on firing? Call us 1-800-848-WABC. Our number is 1-800-848-9222.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect.
A great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
Back to the phones we go as the New York Post lead editorial today is Donald Trump Jr. is an idiot. And Ebony K. Williams said it's strategical.
Oh, it's strategy. They're throwing him a solid, Curtis.
Let's go to Matt, who's calling from Bloomfield. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm just curious why you and so many other media outlets are spending so much time on this issue when there's really no evidence. I mean, you guys just said it before. There's no evidence. The guy lied, so maybe...
Well, wait a second, Matt, the guy already lied, Trump Jr. So what suggests to you that there may not be evidence? It hasn't even been investigated. It's just his word.
And, exactly. So let the evidence go, see if there's any evidence. And if there is, then by all means, talk about it.
All right. Well, that'll become part of the investigation. And Trump Jr. has made it that way by what he originally denied. So it will now become part of this elongated investigation that every week has a new attachment added to it.
The short answer, Matt, is, listen, you're exactly right. We don't know where this is going to lead. That's what Robert Mueller is for. But guess what? The denial. You want to know why we're talking about it? Because he denied the meeting. And then we found out later that he had the meeting.
That's the only reason. No one cares, literally. I live next to the most liberal town in the tri-state area, and I know so many liberals who don't even care.
Is that Montclair? Is that Montclair, New Jersey?
It absolutely is Montclair.
Yep. That's according to Christie, where the communists live.
Way to call it, Curtis.
Yeah, that was in the news recently, I know, but it's true. I know so many people from that town that don't even want to hear anything more about it.
You know, a lot of people didn't want to hear about Watergate. I grew up in the Watergate era for the first year after the botched robbery break-in. People say, oh, there's nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom, it just exploded, wave after wave after wave.
Yeah, a lot of people said the same thing about Bill Clinton, too. You know, everybody was a right-wing conspiracy theorist, and they were just out to get him until those articles of impeachment came floating down.
And Paula Jones sued him, and instead of doing what I said on the air, which is settle with her, that's how we found out about Monica Lewinsky.
See, exactly. He keeps being arrogant, Curtis.
And you know who told him not to settle?
Hillary.
Definitely. Let's go to Dan, calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here at WABC. Danny?
Yeah, now we know that they are talking to the Russians, and they cannot deny it now. And if it was Hillary doing the same thing, it would have been an outroar. Let's get her out. She's giving secrets to the Russians, and they combine their thoughts. And plus, the Trump is getting richer every day with the Russians, with the hotels, and he's not giving his money back. And nobody talks about none of that stuff. If it was Hillary, there would have been an outroar. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, Dan, it's safe to say, Ebony, both sides, if they would have been provided with dirt on their opposing candidate.
They're going to that meeting.
They would have been high hog going for it.
Oh,
and they
man.
Would not have reported
and
the meeting to the FBI or
anybody
to any
else.
Intelligence agency
no.
or anything like that.
No, they would have sucked that information for all they could get.
But the fact is, it's come to the surface. And Trump Jr., who's being called an idiot by the New York Post, claims he didn't remember the meeting. Nobody ever seems to remember meetings with Russians in the Trump administration, which just leads to more investigations and more questions. How could you not remember meetings with Russians?
He had so many meetings on the campaign trail, Curtis. You know, it was just all getting mixed up in his head. He can't remember who's who. I mean, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. What's a man to do?
How old is Trump Jr.?
Got to be in his early 40s.
Is he suffering from the first early effects stages of dementia? Alzheimer's?
Perhaps. No, I'm telling you, it's the man in black thing. You look into that little light, and it all goes away.
No. The next subject is the woman in black, a state Supreme Court justice who turns loose all criminals in arraignment court, something you have experience
lots
with.
Lots of experience with, and I got a lot to say about that, Curtis.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
So why don't you turn me loose?
Exist in state Supreme Court now in Brooklyn. And Ebony K. Williams, you actually served in arraignment court.
Sure did.
I want you to assess what she has done back to back, belly to belly, in arraigning four individuals, all charged with different sorts of crime. Let me bring up the first individual, a guy named Emmanuel. He's 29 years old. He's in a holding cell at the 83rd Precinct in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is right after police officer Familia was shot and killed on 183rd Street and Morris Avenue in the Bronx. He tries to reach for the police revolver, pull it out of the cop's holster. They wrestle him down. He's brought to Skimmerhorn Street, Brooklyn State Supreme Court. He's arraigned before Brooklyn Supreme Court Justice Lauren Bailey Schiffman. The prosecutor, the DA's office in Kings County, asked for $250,000 bail, but Judge Schiffman let him go without bail. That's point number one.
Mm-hmm.
Point number two, it was a video that went viral. We saw it played over and over about a week and a half ago. It was a black man. He was without a shirt. He was wearing shorts, and he was walking inside of this church around and around, encircling this nun who was in a pew. She was praying. And he kept repeating to her, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Luckily, local police responded. They were able to take him away. I would have immediately thought, this guy's an emotionally disturbed person.
Correct.
Send him for a psych evaluation. No, he was brought for arraignment in the courtroom of Judge Schiffman. Naturally, the prosecutor wanted a heavy bail. And immediately, Judge Schiffman said, no, release him on his own recognizance, and he's expected to attend his next court date.
Well, I think, Curtis, he was actually released to de Blasio's supervised release program, a little bit better than recognizant, but definitely no bail. No bail.
And then a hate crime in which two guys had challenged a biracial couple who were walking through the streets of Sheepshead Bay. They were spewing all kinds of racial slurs, including the N-bomb, N-bomb, N-bomb. Two guys who then threatened to do them physical harm and kept referring to the black guy as a charcoal burner. They were arrested for making racially insensitive remarks and terroristic threats, the whole nine yards. They were brought before Judge Schiffman, and once again, she decided, don't remand them to jail, and I'm not issuing bail. And they walked out. So you have three different cases involving four suspects, all of them charged with different crimes. And her point was, bail is meant only to guarantee that you will return to court for your next court appointment and that you are not a risk of flight.
Yep.
But I always thought that it can also be used to detain you pending a psych evaluation, pending other pertinent criminal justice situations that might determine that you are a threat to society if you're released back into the streets, or maybe a threat to your victim because you've said things in which I'm going to get revenge, a vendetta, I'll get that person or I'll get that rat, you know, who dropped dime on me that alerted the police who came and arrested me. You've operated in arraignment court. What is the law and the regulations when it comes to bail?
So, Curtis, this is actually really, really deep, because let's go, we'll go micro, but let's go macro for a second. Let's play this out, worst case scenario. Let's say the first case you were talking about, the person that was reaching for a law enforcement's firearm, which, by the way, reckless on every standard. Eventually, this person gets his hands on a firearm, shoots and kills, hurts, kills somebody. Guess who's going to be accountable for that? This judge right here. That's going to be literally on her watch. She will be accountable for that. So that's how important the stakes are when you're making decisions around bail and bond. Now, listen, judges have discretion. That's absolutely true. And that's what she's holding on to. I have wide discretion around whether or not I set a bail or bond. To your question, Curtis, of what is the law around this? Now, I practiced, this is my 10th anniversary of practicing law. Most of my career I spent in North Carolina. And our law afforded exactly what you said. It's two tests for whether or not bail is set. A, are you a flight risk? Do I think you're going to come back to court and be adult enough to face the charges you've been accused of? And B, are you a continued threat? Do you represent a continued threat to either your victim or society as a whole if you're released? And if the answer to that is yes, you're a continued threat, then guess what? I got to set a bail for you. That's the law in North Carolina and in most states across the country.
And but my understanding is that is the law here also.
Well, it's a little trickier than that. Because the state legislature, the way it's worded, Curtis, and I think that this is a place where there needs to be political reform and clarity around it. Some judges interpret the law as to say, oh, I'm not allowed. I'm not permitted. That's what she's claiming, that she's not allowed to consider this perceived threat, this continued threat issue, that she's only allowed to consider their flight risk. But I would argue this, Curtis, if someone's crazy enough to reach for a law enforcement's weapon, I don't know that I would trust that person to come back to court. So I think that you can argue that, that poses a flight risk as well. And that's certainly what I'm sure prosecutors did argue and I would argue. But that's the problem, is that you cannot just look at one issue when you're considering bail, Curtis. You have to look at not just the flight issue, but also the continued threat. Because if one of these people that she let out, because I don't think I would have let any of these people out with no bond. I mean, that's just crazy. Because they're violent or would be violent offenses. You know, a nun praying? Are you serious? Saying you're going to lynch somebody because they're in an interracial relationship and reaching for a law enforcement's firearm? Those are all very, very, very egregious crimes these people are accused of. And yes, they're innocent until proven guilty. But my goodness, is $5,000 or $10,000 bail going to hurt you? No. And in fact, it might protect a lot of people.
Not only that, but the guy's name, Rudolf Evremenko. He's a Russian. It's always a danger of flight.
Oh, my God.
Whether he happens
really?
To be from Russia or the
really?
Ukraine.
Come
and
on,
his partner
Curtis.
In this, and this is what they did. They surrounded this biracial couple. And I would think that Bill de Blasio, as pretentious as he is, would say, wow, that could have been me and my wife walking through the streets of Sheepshead Bay when we were a young couple just looking for an apartment before we settled on the Slow Park Slope. And these two guys are surrounding them, and they're screaming out, you punk mother effer. You punk ass and bomb. Then all of a sudden, the two guys, they pumped their fists into their hands and said, this is our neighborhood. You effing and bomb. Get the hell out of here. They also threatened to lynch the black guy and called him a charcoal burner.
Horrible.
And in this case, the prosecutors rightfully asked for a $50,000 bail for each guy. And Bailey Schiffman, the judge, released each on his own recognizance. So four up, four down. They're all back out into the streets. Ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest that this judge be removed from the bench, that she be taken off the bench or at least sent to civil court.
That's tough.
Which he's not overseeing any criminal cases. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. What say you, attorney Ebony K. Williams?
Well, I think it's hard to get her off the bench, Curtis, but I definitely don't. If it were Judge Williams on the bench, all of these individuals would have had some bond, some bail, at least $10,000, $15,000. I don't know if I would have do $200,000, but something to assure me that they're going to come back to my courtroom and face these charges or keep them in custody to protect society. Because ultimately, Curtis, that is also a part of the judge's job, is to make sure that society is protected. And I don't believe that she was really doing this. Now, I will say, being a judge is not easy. You're basically tasked with looking into a crystal ball and having some foreseeability. What is the likelihood that this person will commit something?
She had a chance to look at the video that we all did when that black guy in the church in Prospect Heights is surrounding Sister Maria Amador as she prayed inside of the Cole Cathedral. She's sitting there. She's minding her business.
Sure.
He continues to circle her. He's mumbling, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. Immediately I say, sight test. Send him to Kings County. I want a report. I don't want to see this guy back in my courtroom until it's a completed psych test. So he's in the jail. He's in Kings County psychiatric facility for the criminally insane until a complete psych test. And then bring him back into arraignment court and we'll decide what gets done at that point. Didn't do that.
No.
Our number's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's quickly go, if we can, to Ron, who's calling from Lynbrook. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Ronnie?
Yes, hi. How are you guys? I know you've had better days. I'm calling this time because this judge, Shipman, that you're speaking of. Shipman, is that the right way I'm saying it?
Correct.
She reminds me of several other judges I've seen in other courts, in family court, who told me to shut up because I was speaking and I didn't have an attorney. And he said, shut up, you don't have an attorney. Just like that, speaking to me in that tone. Some judges, I don't know how they got there. I don't know how they ruled this universe of their little room. But how do you ever deal with them when they run that show with impunity?
Good inquiry, Ron. The problem, I think, that I see it is, Curtis, a lot of these judges are elected to like 14, 20-year terms. And I think that's too much. See, I think the judges should be elected every 2 to 4 years at a maximum. Because when you put a judge on the bench for 14 years or sometimes lifetime appointments or until they're 70 years old, where is the incentive for them to really weigh this stuff in an effective way?
And when they run for office, if they're not appointed, they should be able to comment on issues. They're told they're not able to give opinions out.
So what are you judging? What are you voting on?
Exactly. Right. Well, generally, they all have the same designation. It's rare that you have a challenge to a judge. Normally, it's the cronies, the political parties that get together and they designate one candidate. When you look across the line, you see this person is being, what do you say? They have the Conservative Party nomination, Democratic, the Republican. And you say, well, what choice is there to pick a judge? Because it's all backroom political whining, dining, and pocket lining and dealing that gets us these judges to make these outrageous decisions.
And we're going straight to the phones on this one with Catherine from the Bronx. Catherine, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, hello.
Yep, you're on, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Anthony. Great to hear you. I love to hear a woman's point of view.
Thank you.
We definitely think that she should be removed. We just want to know, what is the process of removing her?
That's where it's tricky, right? Because, again, okay, this woman was put on for a 14-year stint, and then she was actually promoted, where she was then appointed after she was elected, to the acting Brooklyn Supreme Court judge. So getting her off the bench, look, let me tell you this, it's a lot easier to get on the bench than to be forced off of it. That would be quite the feat, Curtis.
But let me give you an idea of what it's like in Kings County, Brooklyn, when judges get chosen by the county corrupt machine. In this case of Frank Setio, hopelessly corrupt. I grew up with the guy, so I know him well. And then before that, there was Vito Lopez, a lech and corrupt. Before that, there was Clarence Norman, went to jail. Before that, Meade Esposito went to jail. And the judges, they have to kick in to the annual county dinner, $25,000, $50,000, in order to even earn the right, potentially, to be reviewed by the county judicial committee that is going to look favorably on that person.
Oh, it's a hustle. It's a hustle all day, Curtis. And that's why, frankly, I never aspired to the bench, because I don't have the stomach. It's the same reason why I'll probably never run for office. I love the law, but I hate politics. I actually do, in terms of being in it.
Is that because you don't like black? You don't like those black regal robes?
Oh, no. Actually, it's in my book, Pretty Powerful. I'll talk about that. I love black. If they made a color darker than that, I'd wear that too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader,
attorney, radio, talk show host,
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
What a man, 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 what a
minutes after 1 as we sit high atop Madison Square Garden here in these fantastic facilities brought to us by NJDiet.com. And you know, Curtis came back with What a Man. Because I'm a big fan of gender roles. You know, being a daughter of the South, and I consider myself a feminist, and I think that I'm as qualified, capable, and smart as any man. But I do think that there is a safe and important space in our society for things that women do and the things that men do. And one of the things that I like a man to do is take care of stuff around the house. You know, be good with your hands. Be helpful. The toilet gets clogged. I don't want to deal with that. You deal with that. My car needs a little tinkle. You go ahead and deal with that. And what's a hot mess, really, to me, Chris, is these days, you men, yes, you men, can't do a daggum thing around the house. You're good for nothing. You always want to dial something up and pay out of pocket to get something serviced. And if that's the case, well, what do we even need you for?
As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided for our broadcast to all of you on the 50,000-pound for watts of sound by NJDiet.com, you couldn't be more hopelessly wrong.
No, no.
Black American princess, BAP that you are, and if there are Japs out there or anyone else, just because all of a sudden you decide to get off your feminist mantle, your position where, oh, it's total equality, you know, we're all under the sun, we're all equal, we all share the same responsibilities. And then you all of a sudden cast guys as having to be like a handy manny, a Bob Villa, you know, with the old house.
Yeah, I remember that. That's good. That's attractive, Curtis. That's actually sexy. What if I told you when you break a sweat and you're putting something together with your bare hands, that's sexy.
What a great show, right? Imagine watching reruns of Bob Villa, the old house. I hate, I despise all of that kind of work. I have never done it.
Because you're not, of course, you're lazy, Curtis. You know,
no,
that's what it is.
No, no, I grew up in a household, and let me explain this.
Yeah, you're not a man. You're not a man.
Oh, so you're saying I'm not manly?
You're not manly. No, you're not manly.
Because I won't get hammers and nails and start pounding them into wood.
Yeah, put something to create something.
Do you and all of a sudden have machinery galore, you know, the drills, the high-powered drills, the electric saws, you know, and act like I know what the hell I'm doing in terms of, you know, hanging out in Home Depot. You want me hanging out in Home Depot, you know, talking shop with all the other guys who are saying, yeah, I need a 2x4 here. You see that plywood? It's bent there, and you know, I remember a day I'd be coming to the lumberyard for plywood. Ain't never had plywood like this.
That's man's work, Curtis. That's man's work. Get under the hood.
I grew up in
make
a household.
Happen.
My father, Chester, it was just his birthday this past weekend, and we celebrated it, even though he's been gone for 3 years from this plane. And he was Handy Manny. He was Bob Villa.
That's
he was
good.
A master craftsman.
And how long were your parents married, by the way?
Gee, like longer than all of my marriages put together.
And that's why. Chester had it going on. Chester was hot. Now his son, on the other hand, yeah.
My dad would be sitting there reading Popular Mechanics, and, you know, he'd be getting all of those special trade magazines about carpentry, about A-framing, about prefabs. He was totally into that. My grandfather on my dad's side, Anton, from Poland. From Limanova, which is in the highlands near the border of Czechoslovakia in the south, his father came to him and he said, hey, you know, as the oldest son in a Polish Catholic family, you got to go and become a priest. You know, you got to go to the seminary. He said, hell no, I'm not going to become a priest. He escaped to Krakow. He became a master craftsman there, started to build, right, cabins in the ocean liners in Liverpool, England, earned his way to America. All of his sons, right, Chester, the oldest, then there was Ernie, and there was Smitty, and there was Leonard. All of the master carpenters, and I would never pick up a hammer with nails. I wouldn't even hold a pail of nails for my dad. Forget the saw. Forget all the drills. I hated it. And it has nothing to do
shame.
With being a man.
No, yes, it does. It does. Because here's the thing, Curtis. When I was married, for the brief moment that it was, my ex-husband convinced me to get this Volvo. Now, that's not really the car I would have gotten, but, you know, trying to defer being a woman, playing my position, I said, okay, my husband wants me to get a Volvo. I'll get a Volvo. I'll get a Volvo. He says, oh, I know how to fix them. I'll take care of it. It'll be all good. First thing that goes wrong, it was like a little fog light, something small, Curtis. He goes to Pep Boys, gets the fog light. I'm like, okay, I got a real man on my hands. Doesn't know what to do with the fog light. Had to go freaking to Pep Boys to get him to put it in for $15. Really? I was so turned off. I knew the marriage was over at that point.
You are creating employment opportunities.
No. I knew the marriage was over at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
Over the fact that he wasn't a handy manny.
Amongst other things. But yeah, because it's like, if I got to do everything myself or we're going to come out of pocket and I got to pay somebody, what do I need
did
you
he
for?
Have a, did he have a toolbox?
No.
Okay, good. Because I never had a toolbox.
It was a hot mess.
And
he didn't know what to do with it if he did.
And he didn't have a toolbox for the sexual toys, did he?
Okay, you know what, Curzon? On that note, we're going to go to the phones. We'll go with Mike. Michael from Queens. Michael, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, guys? Ebony, Curtis, you're so much better than Kubi. You're the best. I enjoy watching the specialist.
Oh, good.
Anyway, listen. Mm-hmm. I want to bring a point up real quick. Every commercial I look at, now me, myself, my grandfather told me I could do anything around the house. Not anything, but I could do, I can't do math, the fine carpentry, stuff like that. But I could change the light, change the door, do the screen door, basic stuff. But every time I look at it now, you're saying you want a man to do these things.
Yep.
But you're an isolated woman. You're in a class by yourself. Because if you look, you put on TV Geico, you got the woman sitting there with the phone. She looks at the guy like, listen, just be quiet, keep your mouth shut, close your eyes, I got this. She presses a button, this guy comes out of the sky, changes the tire, and that's that.
You know what, Michael, what if I told you, because you're right, and I got a toolbox under my sink, which is more than Curtis can say, and I hang up the stuff hang up the stuff in my apartment and do all of that. I got a plunger for the toilet. But it would be so much better if a man just stepped in and said, you know what, hon? I got you. Don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. Oh, man. That'd be such a turn on, Michael.
I want to tell you something. My girl, my ex-girl, she says the light's broken in the house. I was away. I was in Florida. I said, all right, when I get back, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. So don't start fiddling around. Do you know that she went up on the ladder and she tried to take the light down? She didn't know to shut the breaker off, nothing. I came home, the light. Everything was off the high. She said, I got to use candles. She had to lose
candles. She didn't even know how to fix the breaker. Well, that's a hot mess, Mike. We'll go quickly now to Tess from Bridgeport. Tess, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, this is Tess.
Yep, you're on, Tess.
Yeah, I'm always loving you now, Ebony. I'm usually loving Curtis.
Oh, good.
I do all my own repair work. I can't take this $200 an hour repair for my house for plumbing, for electrical, so I taught myself how to do it all.
I think that's brilliant, Tess.
Including basic repair on my car, and I can't stand the sight of a man who doesn't know how to hold a hammer.
That's right. So I was going to ask you, Tess, if you don't mind, are you single or are you married?
I'm single.
And if somebody was to come into your life, a special gentleman, and he was less capable than you've educated yourself to be, how much of a turnoff would that be? Please tell Curtis.
If he doesn't own a toolbox, I won't be able to go out with him.
Excuse me, Tess. You said you would have nothing to do with a guy who didn't know how to hold a hammer?
That's right.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Well, I know how to hold a hammer, but it's not one that
you
pounds
nails. You
know
what? That's disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting, and nobody wants that visual, Curtis. No one. We'll go quickly now to Mike from Pinebrook. Mike, you're on 77. Oh, no, Mike from New Jersey. Mike, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Ebony, Curtis, how are you? I just wanted Ebony's advice on my wife for 2 years.
Okay.
I knew she couldn't cook, but I thought when she was going to be a wife, she would be more hands-on. She's a stay-at-home mom with two little kids, and I give her a little, leeway with that. But she doesn't even try to cook or clean.
So it's
I work full-time, and I do it when I get home and help out. But it's a little bit much. Just
how
like
long did you guys date? Turn your radio down, Mike.
I'm sorry. Since college.
Okay, so I also got married without asking this fundamental question. You asked for my advice, and we're actually going to start a segment here on Curtis and Ebony called Ask Ebony. That's going to start next week, so this will be perfect.
But here's what I'm saying. You didn't tell me this about this.
Oh, well, it's an executive decision, Curtis. You're getting your agenda roll. So listen, we're going to do this, Mike. When you get married, everybody assumes that everybody's on the same page around what the marriage will look like post the wedding, but you don't have that conversation, because I thought as soon as I got married, Curtis, my man was going to step up, he was going to pay more of the bills, he was going to take care of stuff around the house.
You didn't answer Mike's question, though.
I'm telling you his question.
Were you into cooking and cleaning?
Oh, yeah. I didn't really as much when I was just dating him, but once we got married, in my mind, that's what a wife does. So I would package lunch. I was Betty freaking Crocker, swear to you, cooking 2-3 times a week.
What happened?
Well, he couldn't fix stuff around the house. So
no, I
said,
understand, but now you're a total black
well, now
American
I'm a boss.
Princess.
Well, now I'm a boss. You know, I'm bossed up now, Curtis. You know, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, you order out for everything.
Well, I'm bossed up.
In fact,
you know,
if God hadn't created takeout food, right, he created it exactly for you.
Well, you know, Curtis, when you're a boss like I am, you got to make concessions. But in the winter, I do cook quite often.
Yeah, but you know, Mike in Jersey there, he was like acting like a Maytag to his wife. Like
no,
he, after
mean,
working a full day, he's going to come home, going to help her clean and cook.
But Curtis,
even though
felt,
she wouldn't lift a finger, you know,
feels,
they just got manicured.
He feels duped, Curtis. He feels like he married her, and now she's just laying around being a mom, which is important. But I think he thought he was going to get more.
Let's quickly go to Pete in Brookdale. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony. Kay Williams here on WABC, Pete.
Good afternoon, Curtis. Good afternoon, Ebony. Ebony, I love you, but I have to disagree. I have to go with Curtis on this one.
Come on.
Man, it's great for a man to be handy around the home, but it is so much sexier when a woman can pick up a hammer and nails and work her butt off and around the house while a man takes care of the kids or does something light.
Does something light. Okay.
Yeah, while he's having a Bud Light.
Yeah. This sounds like a freeloader situation, Pete. Now, I'll tell you, I'll split the baby with you, Pete. If I'm having to sit around and repair the broken electricity thing or whatever, are you going to be in the kitchen making a nice steak and asparagus dinner for us? Is that how it's going to work?
I'll cook anything for that woman who can handle my house and take care of some of the load off of my back. But believe me. I'm telling you.
That's a reversal of gender roles, Pete. Oh, man.
This is the modern world, Ebony.
I don't like it. Let's go back 20 years.
Pete is so dead on.
No.
You want equality?
No, I told you. I don't want equality. I got to find this cut.
Wait, you called yourself a feminist.
I am a feminist.
Well, wait a second. Feminists, that's what they immediately demand. Not only equality, they want supremacy.
That's what I just said. I don't want equality. I want to be treated much, much better than you, Curtis. Much, much better. I don't want to be your equal.
There is no way. No way. You are a handful. Do you realize a guy would have to spend all of his time tending to your needs? He would be such a Maytag. He would be such a poo putt. He might as well just take the scalpel out and eviscerate himself.
No. But you know what? It takes a strong, strong man to handle a woman like me, Curtis, because that means he's that confident in his manhood that he can not too much.
You want somebody to hold your shopping bags and go, yes, Ebony, yes, anything, dear, yes.
No, why do people always say this? That's
because
not true.
That's the image you get off.
No.
That's the vibe you give off.
No, that's just you hating, as usual, Curtis.
My number is 1-800-848-WABC.
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
All right, going straight to the phones with Jim from Long Island. Jim, you're on Live and Local with Curtis and Ebony.
Hi, Ebony and the Grand Poopah. Hey, I'm on board with you, Ebony, regarding the man. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I'm the Norm Abram, and I think it's all about what we should do. And I do the cooking. She does the cleaning.
You sound like you're happily married, too, Jim. I got to tell you. I can hear it in his voice,
Hold
Curtis.
On a second, Jim. You not only are Mr. Handyman, Mr. Fix-It, Mr. Handyman, Mr. Bob Vila around the house, you also cook, and the only thing your wife does is clean?
Absolutely. She does the dishes and the laundry, and I do the rest.
And do you hear Jim complaining about it, Curtis?
Well, because he's a Maytag.
No, he's a grown man. How long have you been married, Jim?
I've been with this lady for 10 years.
So there you go. That's amazing. You can learn something from Jim, Curtis.
When you got the rings for your marriage, did she put one through your nose?
Oh, my gosh.
Jim,
don't even respond to that, Jim. That's just Curtis hating.
Grand Bufa, I'm not married. I'm in a domestic relationship, and we love it.
That works, too. That works, too.
So it's to your advantage, that kind of relationship, that you're not married, huh?
Curtis, I'm not going down your path. I'm not doing it three times. I've done it once, and that's it.
There you go. Smart man. This is a very, very smart man here. Oh, absolutely.
Let's see what the woman's point of view is on this.
Gina from Long Island. Gina, you're on Live and Local.
Hi, Ebony. I just have to say, I love your show, but I agree with you so much. It is so attractive. So attractive.
Isn't it?
A man who can do things around the house. I don't know that it's necessary. I have my ex-husband would try, but he just couldn't do it.
Well, that's why he's an ex-husband, Gina. That's why he's ex.
Exactly. But the man I'm with now, I have to say, he can't do it. He's like 25 years older than me.
Oh.
But what makes me furious about any man, You don't have to be Bob the Builder or, you know, bring home millions of dollars, but you can pick up after yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
I do.
If you're making a sandwich, you can clean the counter off. You can pick up after yourself.
Do you at least do that, Curtis? You know? Do you at least pick up after yourself? Look at all that hesitation.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Pinebrook. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Mikey?
Hey, how you doing, Curtis and Ebony?
I've had better days.
Hey, listen, I just want to, you know, nicely disagree with Ebony. You know, I used to think that way 30 years ago. You know, I'll have a house and I'll do all the fixer-upper things around the house and do all that crazy stuff. But, you know, as I got older, I realized that there are a lot of my friends who are in the handyman business, plumbers, carpenters, masonry, landscapers, and whatnot. All of these chores, which I would normally do. But I realized that if most more of us take on the responsibility, more of my buddies would be out of work. Like, you know, the landscaper guy, he was telling me the other day, a lot of people are doing their own lawn and whatnot. Business is tight. He's got to lay off guys. The plumbers are saying the same thing, too. And, you know, if we all take that approach, and I mean... I agree with Ebony. If it's a turn-on for her...
Hold on, Jay, Mike. You're coming in like you're underwater there, or maybe you have an Obama phone, but he is absolutely right.
An Obama phone.
How are you going to encourage employment, especially with saying guys and gals out there, go out and get vocational skills. Not everybody's going to be able to do anything with a liberal arts degree.
Which we will talk about later in the show.
Right, so here it is. They have these skill levels. They're making good money, and now all of a sudden you're deciding to hang out
Curtis,
at Home Depot and do
Curtis,
everything yourself.
Curtis, I'm not talking about building a outhouse or something. I'm talking about basic household needs. If you can't do the basic stuff, well, then, you know, you're a little bit less than a man. I'm sorry. This is what it is.
Oh, you're saying I'm unmanly.
I'm
huh?
saying you're very, very unmanly for a variety of reasons, some of which we can't get into on air.
Let's go to Dave in Port Jervis. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here at WABC. Dave?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I love the show. But I got to tell you, any guy that today thinks that he does not have a hand in taking care of the kids is a nut job.
That's
because
true.
Because all you're going to get is a bunch of belligerent kids that don't respect the father. And when the pressures start coming in and the divorces start coming in, I guarantee you they'll all be swapping over to mom instead of dad.
Okay, right? So you're talking about discipline. So, yeah, man.
Yeah. A guy has to show that he's the man of the house by showing that to the kids, not showing it to the woman. We have it a little bit wrong, guys. We really do. We're thinking that the woman is supposed to be there barefoot and pregnant and walking around. You're absolutely wrong if you're thinking in that mode today.
Well, that's for sure. All you got to do is look at the BAP here, the Black American Princess, and you know that ain't happening.
What, barefoot? You don't see me walking around barefoot and pregnant, Curtis?
No, because you'd have a surrogate carry. You'd have a surrogate do all the heavy lifting.
Curtis, are you trying to tell me that you can't see me walking around with a little baby bump?
No way.
No?
Are you kidding?
No?
You would be horrified. You would be looking in the mirror and you would think, oh, my little pretty, what happened to me?
You know who's horrified? Ken Duffy. Ken Duffy is sitting over there. They're horrified that you would say
what
such egregious things about
William.
Me. That is just...
Ebony Kardashian Williams.
I'm just dumbfounded, Curtis. I would be... I can't believe you would say such a thing about me.
It's so true, though.
No,
that's why
not.
You can't deal with it.
No, it's so not true.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect...
A great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
What is this song you chose, Ebony Kardashian Williams?
Well, Curtis Sliwa, I cannot take credit for this because I did not know what it was. This is from our true millennial, Justin Bieber. But I'll take it. I barely know who Fifth Harmony is. I got to tell you the truth.
Low budget, bubblegum music.
Yeah, you know, wannabe
not,
Spice Girls. Wannabe
not
Spice
worthy.
Girls.
Not worthy of Curtis and Ebony. But anyway. The subject matter we're discussing is what is becoming more and more prevalent in the workplace. Person doesn't show up for work, and they claim they've taken a mental health day, or they've taken a mental health week. I remember this transpiring with a former partner of mine in talk radio, in which he declared that he was taking a mental health day in the middle of the program and walked out.
No, that did not happen.
Yes, it
did. Are you serious?
Yeah. And management felt it was copacetic because, you know, new rules and regulations have come down the pipe suggesting that it's not just a physical problem that you might be having that might keep you from coming to work or being forced to leave work, as would be understood. You don't want to get everybody else sick in the workplace. But that if you had a mental health issue or you needed a mental health day, it would be okay not to come in order to get yourself completely whole before you come back to work. And I remember when management was telling me that, I was saying, don't you realize how many people could use this as a ruse? How many people who don't want to work and are gold brick slackers and deadbeats can consistently say they're having all kinds of mental health issues? Have you pressed them on it? Have you asked them, are they seeking care? Are they going to a shrink or a psychoanalyst? What are they doing over their mental health issues? Well, I didn't feel like I'd have to ask for a note. Why not? What a perfect way to bogart your job. And I'm looking at you, Ebony K. Williams, and I'm saying, this is a woman who would obviously reach into that deck of cards and claim and call up one day, and I know that day is coming. Justin, tell Curtis I can't come in today. I'm having a mental health ordeal. I might see you in a few days. I'll get back to you. Click.
Okay, listen, let me tell you something, Curtis. First of all, you have sat on this program in the 2 months almost that we've we're coming up on our 2 month anniversary.
Yes.
That's going to be exciting.
Yes.
And you have talked about, particularly in the wake of the Steve Scalia shooting, that mental health has a stigma that we need to get rid of.
Oh,
right.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So this is going a long way towards that. And I wouldn't be shady and I wouldn't have a ruse and all that fugazi stuff you're talking about. I would just be straight up, as I've been in my, gosh, I've been a professional almost 15 years now. And my best friend and I, they're calling it a mental health day like this is something new. We've been taking what we call personal days. It's called a personal day.
A personal
day. You call up and you say, you know what? I'm not going into it. My best friend just took one on Monday. She wasn't, no cold, no allergies.
Okay.
Just stressed out, having anxiety, dealing with a little bit of depression. And you know what? It's a personal day.
All right, so let me get this straight. Because she was stressed out. Mm-hmm. She was having anxiety, personal issues. She decided to be a gold brick that
she
day and not show up to work.
And not show up, not bring all that negative, unproductive energy, Curtis. And look, what's it to you? We all get a certain number of days you can use, so who cares if you're using it for a head cold or a mental health day? What difference does it
where's
make?
Where's the proof? Where's the proof?
Why did you have to prove? It's your day. You get your day anyway.
I see.
Now, I know that you don't believe. I know you pride yourself because, you know, you're so much better than the rest of us lowly commoners. You don't take days off from work.
Never.
Because you're better than them. No, instead you just walk around in a constant state of wanting to blow people's heads off.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I come in every day and
with an attitude.
A list in my mind of all the people I'd like to kill that day.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you're in the office dropping F-bombs and being a hot, hot mess.
And people may say, wow, this guy is Psycho Boy. Why don't you take a few days to max and relax and just chill out because you're really intense? Well, I'm not going to kill anybody. Do I have the capability of doing it? Yes, but I'm not going to do it. But I don't all of a sudden decide because I'm in the grips of some kind of depression or it's an anxiety situation or things haven't worked out my way that all of a sudden I'm going to be suffering postpartum depression even though I'm not pregnant.
Postpartum? Look at you. You want to be a woman so bad, Curtis. You know, it's possible these days, by the way. We can arrange that for you.
Oh, can we switch roles?
Yeah, I know you want to. That's what it is. You want to do the cooking and the cleaning, and you want to postpartum.
Not that part.
You want to do all that woman
stuff. I want to be that independent, autonomous feminist.
You want to be a power woman.
Exactly.
You want to be me.
Flex.
You want to be me. You want to be a boss.
Take advantage of all the advantages that women have in the workplace, increasingly more and more. But tell me, explain this to me. When does it dawn upon you to take this personal day or mental health day?
I think it's a good question. I think that in my career, particularly during my time as a practicing trial lawyer, if I got up, because here's the thing, Curtis, I take an oath as an attorney to represent my clients to the best of my ability, a zealous advocate. If I can't do that for any reason, so traditionally we think of sick days, maybe you're congested, you got a cold, you got something contagious, but maybe you broke your leg, your arm, you got a toothache. Those we excuse, no problem. But if what if I can't do my job effectively because I am mentally distracted? I'm dealing with anxiety. I'm dealing with depression. Shouldn't that also justify using one of those sick days to make sure that I'm getting myself
whole? You know, sometimes,
whole,
Ebony, I stand at the top of the escalators at Penn Station and I watch the horde of workers come flushing through this third world station below us. 700,000 a day. And I realize that a lot of them are carrying a lot of baggage. And I'm not talking about
Samsonite.
Right. I'm talking about the fact that they've had all kinds of stressful situations in the house, in their personal life, in their professional life. Mm-hmm. And yet they schlep to work. They put in their time. They're productive in order to earn the salaries that they do.
And that's bad. That's what I'm saying, Curtis. You taught this like it's a good thing to just power through. Maybe we would have less people like the doctor that went up to the hospital in the Bronx and blew away a coworker. You know, we called it going postal. Maybe we would have less of this, Curtis, if people took these mental health personal sick days.
By the way, he wasn't working at that time.
No, he wasn't, but
he
that's what I'm saying.
And he decided to
that's
go in and
I'm
do
saying,
it anyway.
That's what I'm saying, because he had an attitude.
All right, well, let's find out.
He should have been taking the sick days.
Ladies and gentlemen, have any of you taken advantage of the, quote, the personal day, which is sometimes described as a mental health day in order not to go to work? And has this been productive for you? Or do you view it as I do, like, hey, no, you just got to fight your way through the depression, the anxiety, all the typical kinds of mind games that you have to wrestle with each and every day, particularly if you have a family, you have bills, you have other extended responsibilities in your life. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
No, Curtis, I got to tell you, I think you're very wrong on this, Curtis. People should not be made to feel bad, and you shouldn't wear it as a badge of honor that you just come in every day, even though you're feeling homicidal and all this stuff. You should take your day, get yourself together, have your Chobani Greek yogurt at your house with you and Nancy, and then you should come back the next day bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
No, I'm not leaving you here solo. There's
no
way. By the time I come back, it'll be the Ebony Kardashian Williams
Look
show.
Look at you. Look at you.
And I'll be
you don't trust me,
like
Curtis?
Hell no.
You don't trust me?
No. I've learned one thing in talk radio. That's why I've survived for 26 years. Never take a vacation, never take a day off, because when you're away, they may decide, because management has this right, no longer to lend you the microphone.
This is true.
It's a perfect opportunity to sack you. And a lot of my colleagues have realized after coming back from a vacation,
yeah.
What do you mean I'm getting a pink slip?
There's no vacation. Yeah, I remember Erica Hill went through that at CBS News. She was gone for like 2 weeks, came back. Nora O'Donnell had
a job. I get colitis attacks
here,
ileitis attacks, and I don't go nowhere. You're stuck with
unfortunately.
Me.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, let's go to John, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony, Johnny.
Hey, you know, and it's a little funny thing. I heard a story about psychiatrists. They make 100 to 500 bucks, and more people get an Obamacare, got to use psychiatry because now it's COVID. And then these people tell you how to ask. Meanwhile, you go to a priest or a bartender and tell me the same thing, to be calm and cool, and I do the same thing, calm and cool, not pay 100 bucks. Out of my tax dollars or anybody else's tax dollars, I don't need to.
You got the wrong therapist, John. I love my therapist, Curtis. Oh, my goodness. She is just everything. And weren't you telling me the story about one of the NBA guys that won the championship and the first person he thanked was his therapist?
Ron Artest with the L.A. Lakers. He was a real cuckoo-lamunga from the Queensridge Projects, St. John's University. And he said, I dedicate this victory to my shrink.
Yeah, a good therapist is worth their weight in gold, I'll tell you.
Who kept me in one piece?
We'll go quickly now to Hallie. Hallie from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
He's had better days.
I hear you. So my belief is that within reason, if it's like 2 or 3 times a year, I do think you should stay home from work, particularly in the winter, and just sleep all day. Because I think if you push it, at least for me, if you keep pushing, that's when you get sick. Like, you know what I mean?
You mean like physically sick?
Well, yeah, physically sick, yeah.
Yeah, I believe in that. I was getting physical manifestations. I was stressed out here a little bit recently and
so
getting
hibernate
physical manifestations.
For a few days in the wintertime, go break it, slacker, deadbeat, don't go into work, and just sleep all day.
Yes.
Deadbeat. Get yourself together. Get yourself together and come back better.
Especially if you're riding the subway to work every day, because we know that's a cauldron of germs. You know, I do feel like you occasionally just need to not be around anyone. Just
Haley? Are you a hypochondriac? Yeah, I figured it. You're a hypochondriac, yeah.
Totally.
You imagine how many days he's off from work.
Yeah, maybe that's a good thing.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
It's really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
We're discussing people taking mental health days. Let's go to Eric calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here.
Hey, good afternoon, Curtis. I love you guys. Love what you're doing with the show. Traveling in between my two restaurants, and it made me crazy, this topic, because people get weekends off. I do this 7 days a week. Love what I do. I don't need a mental break. I need to kick ass, boot it up, and go. And it's always amazing to me how many people just need.
But Eric, don't you feel like you and this is a good thing, you have a job that you love, so it doesn't feel like work. But some people aren't so fortunate or blessed, or maybe they haven't positioned themselves as such, so they need a break.
But they get weekends off. You know?
2 days? Come on.
For the most part, people get weekends off, holidays off, and yes, I'm very blessed and lucky that I do what I love. But even just the thought of a mental day. You know, people get vacation every year, and they should take advantage of that time instead of spending too much time on the computer doing whatever the heck they're doing and tweeting and Instagramming and just live life instead of live it, you know, online. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one way to look at it. We'll quickly now go to Helen from Rockland. Helen, you're on with Curtis and Ebony.
Yes. Hello. I love your show. I love both of you and listening to both of you. I think this is so important. I'm a psychoanalyst. I've been doing this work for like 22 years. There's a reason why there's industry standard for a psychoanalyst to take off the month of August. You know, people kind of make jokes about it. But it's because even though we love our work and love watching people develop and grow, it does take, you know, it's mentally and emotionally challenging. And people do need to rest. I like what Eric said about resting. You know, I think with this 24/7 society that's crept up on everybody, I think it's very, very bad for people. Now, Curtis is old school. You know, the good old work ethic. You push through it. You get through it. That was good at a time where people took the Sabbath off. They went to church or they went to synagogue, and
now they don't do that stuff. And here's another. I'll give you guys both this. How about a business reason to take all the days off? Most companies, if you don't lose your vacation days, you lose them, and they build that into your compensation package, Curtis. So
actually,
you should maximize it.
I've taken mental health days off from going to church.
I don't want to go there more.
No,
that's
I don't want to fall asleep. You know, the priest is giving his sermon, and I'm looking at him, Curtis. And saying, yeah, do as I say, not
you.
As I do.
I pray for you, Curtis. I pray for
you all the time.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and lead
attorney, radio talk show host,
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Small beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and
oh, this is like smelling salts to me. As I'm ready to have a Big Mac attack. Smelling salts, yeah.
Curtis, you wanted this old school version of this song?
Of course. I mean, this is what we all grew up with.
I don't even remember. I was literally 1 year old. What? How about the Tyrese version or something with a little more pizzazz?
No, because we're going back to the roots of Mickey D's.
Oh, you're so deep, Curtis. You're so deep.
I spent time as a night manager in the Bronx, not far from where, unfortunately, Officer Familia was killed, 183rd and Morris, and just recently buried. I was up on East Fordham Road in Webster, and I was the night manager there. So I had to do a lot of quality control. I had to make sure that those Big Macs that were coming up in the runs, that they were made, you know, the buns were caramelized, the meat was prepared the right way, the seasoning was correct. So every time a run would come up, I'd have to eat a Big Mac, naturally, to make sure it was good quality.
You just had to, right?
Well, I wanted to do it for the customers.
You know you wanted to eat that Big Mac, Curtis.
But anyway, we're high at Tom Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us to conduct this broadcast by NJDiet.com, which you might have to end up going to after you've had
too many Big Macs.
Your fare full of fast food. And it's a variety of fast food. But there's a study that's come down the pipe that has suggested that poor people don't eat the most fast food in America. That in fact, it's mostly, it's the food of the middle class in America. And I couldn't more hopelessly disagree with the findings of this study. Now, I realize there are always exceptions to the rule. Richest man in the world, Bill Gates, has Big Macs every afternoon.
So, Trump likes a Big Mac, too.
Oh, he likes everything. He likes KFC. He'd like it with the trans fatty oil, you know, old school style.
How can we forget? Bill Clinton used to love some McDonald's.
That's right. And if you remember from your own tales, your mother was working there or managing.
The Popeye's Fried Chicken.
Popeye's, one of my favorite locations, especially with the red beans and rice.
I know how you feel about those red beans and rice.
But the fact of the matter is, I remember being in Jackson, Mississippi recently and visiting the Guardian Angels and saying, how am I going to feed all of these hungry Guardian Angels? And there was that dollar menu right on the board. So many things for a dollar that I was able to get trays full of. Keep the Guardian Angels from being famished so we could go out there and run through the tougher neighborhoods of Jackson, Mississippi, which have quite a few. And I have noticed, because I am an aficionado of fast food, I will look at the lines whenever I go into a fast food emporium, and I notice what people are ordering. And yeah, fast food costs a lot of money based on what you're actually getting for the dollars that you're putting over to the cashier and the change you're getting back. But in almost all of these fast food locations, they have those low-budget menus. And you should see the number of people who have eyes only for the low-budget menus. The dollar menus are those that are like $1.50, a buck and change. And then they gorge on that.
Yeah, sure.
And as a result of that, obviously, people develop quite a few health-related issues. You shouldn't be eating fast food morning, noon, and night like I used to do. I'd have it for breakfast.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So what would you do, like from McDonald's when you were working there?
Sure, I'd have the McMuffin, right?
When's the last time you had fast food, Curtis? I mean, I know you know your colitis has you kind of limited now, but I'm just curious. Because
actually,
there's only one time that I eat fast food.
It was at Nathan's Famous. It was right around Mother's Day. And I was sitting outside of the main Nathan's Famous there in Coney Island off Stillwell Avenue, and I was downing a dirty water hot dog and having the fries. And I actually did a FaceTime video. I went live, and people were saying to me, how could you do that? You got colitis and ileitis. That'll set it off. I said, on this occasion, I'm rolling the dice. I'm just going to set it off, whatever happens. I need that taste of that dirty water hot dog.
And yet you live to tell about it. Thank goodness.
Live to tell about it. So what have been your experiences?
With fast food? So I used to eat fast food, as you know, most people did. It really messed me up. You hear about the College 15, where there was a Chick-fil-A on campus at UNC Chapel Hill. And boy, my 15 turned into maybe like freshman 20. It was pretty much a hot mess. So I backed away from fast food and did my pageant days. But there is one time, and to this day, I do have one weakness, Curtis, when it comes to fast food. And it is from Mickey D's. And they are the chicken McNuggets. I have a weakness, particularly when they put them on sale, a 20-piece for $4.99. And I need it with barbecue sauce and sweet and sour sauce and a fry, typically after I've had some adult beverages.
Ah, mm-hmm. So yeah. you're a sucker for that.
I'm a sucker for that.
You can't pass up on that.
That's how I know I've had too much to drink and fat. If I find myself in the McDonald's drive-thru,
right,
getting a 20-piece,
I'm
over-served.
L.A., you've lived in Louisiana. You lived in North Carolina.
Yep.
Now you are a carpetbagger like a lot of millennials and hipsters colonized Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
When you have gone into fast food places, who are the kind of people that you see standing online pushing that coin over the counter paying for that food? Because this study suggests that it's not poor people that are eating most of the fast food in America.
I'm going to disagree with you, Curtis, because I agree with the article. Yes, poor people, dollar menu, sure. But if you go at the right time, particularly the time I find myself, it's it's us that have a little more affluence. We've been maybe socializing at different adult establishments and bars and things, and then we find ourselves a little overserved. We need something to soak up all that alcohol, and it's a line out the door at McDonald's and Wendy's and everything else.
That's
why. True.
That's why you like to supersize.
Got to supersize it. Get the big order of fries. Get
absorb
the 20
all those margaritas you've been downing.
That's exactly right. All those Jack and Cokes and everything else. Now, so we are a large part of that fast food market.
Let me ask you a question, because remember, Dr. Ben Carson tells the story. At least he did on the presidential campaign trail when he was competing against Trump and others in the Republican primary, that as a neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, he was online at a Popeye's fried chicken joint.
Yes.
Maybe it's the one that your mother ran.
Not in Baltimore, but yes.
And he said that somebody came in with a Thule, a gun, and was holding up the place. And then he immediately, they looked at him as if he were the manager. And he said, I'm not the manager. Look at that guy over the counter, man. He wanted no part of that guy with the gun that was sticking it in his back. But there are situations like that. If you look where fast food restaurants are positioned, how many of them are clustered up in poor neighborhoods?
That's true, and I have a problem with that.
Back to back, belly to belly.
Yeah, the per capita, it's way more in poor neighborhoods, people of color, not enough grocery stores and places where people that have limited means can get fresh produce. Because produce is very expensive. Like, who are we kidding? Vegetables, fruits, fresh meats, that stuff costs a lot of money. See, fast food, that's cheap. So there's definitely a disparity going on around what's available to communities of color and poor people.
But you see, if you weren't making money, let's say you had a franchise of Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes.
No, let's do Wendy's. That's my favorite. Let's do Wendy's.
All right, Wendy's or McDonald's or Burger King or some other establishment. It could be Kansas Fried Chicken or it could be Kennedy Chicken. Man, that's really low budget.
I don't like Kennedy Chicken.
The Afghans have that. The Afghans have that. But imagine, you're going to try to establish a place where you know you're going to get a lot of volume coming into the door. So it's basically, you're not going to put a fast food place in an area where you're not doing volume.
Yeah.
And if you notice, most of the fast food places, and I'd love to get some interaction from our listeners there, are in poor neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get most of the flow of the action.
It's also very discriminatory, though, when you think about it, Curtis, because it's feeding a cycle that says that this is what we think that this community is worth, and this is what we're going to put in this community. This is what they will consume, and then it leads to a cycle of obesity and things of this nature.
Well, let's open up our phones on that 800-848-WABC. Is it more middle-class folks eating fast food or poorer folks, or the exception to the rule, the occasions like Trump and Bill Gates who can't go a day without having a fast food attack? That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Eric, who's calling from Poughkeepsie. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Eric?
Two things to say. The Ebony K, the K stands for cool. You
I
are the
like
coolest
that.
Person.
Thank you, Aaron.
You are the coolest. I'll tell you, if you were my girlfriend, you would challenge me. I would add things to my life. I'd have to play hard. You know, I'd have to really play sharp, and that's good.
No,
that's
anyway, great feedback, Eric.
No, you're right there. I write music, and I'm going to dedicate one of my songs to you. I wish I could send it to you and Curtis. But anyway.
Well, what are you trying to do? Sweeten her up here?
Eric, you
keep on
you're
being sweet.
Her up.
You know, Curtis is just hating because you're now writing songs for him. That's all.
Well, I'll write one for Curtis, too. I dig what you did with the Angels. What he's done is a wonderful thing. Taking those bullets from John Gotti. Let me tell you, man, you're on my list. I had a little trouble with some, what do you call it?
Gavons, Yadrus, Knuckle Dragons.
You know, I had some Albanian problem yesterday.
I was with them last night on Arthur Avenue in the Belmont section. They've taken over the area.
Anyway, I'm a limo driver in Poughkeepsie, and I got to tell you, I'm a Trader Joe's guy, and I eat up here at Adams, but we've got more McDonald's and Kentucky Fried all mixed up in this town of Wappinger Falls and Poughkeepsie you can shake a stick at, yet we have some really wealthy grocery shops here.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I think that perception is a little off, Curtis. I think that poor people, yeah, if they can't afford anything but the dollar menu, that's what they'll do. But some middle to even affluent people, they will get down on a 20-piece. Oh, don't let them fool you.
Let's go to Stone in Rockaway. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Stone?
We had a Checkers that opened by a new development in Rockaway, Auburn by the Sea, which is like middle class to lower middle class. It's a perfect demographics for Checkers. And then when opened in Far Rockaway, which is like discriminatory, you say, that's a poor area in Far Rockaway. It replaced the White Castle, which is affordable food, but it really isn't good food. And both of them closed within 18 months they were closed, whereas the Kentucky Fried Chicken right there in Far Rockaway been there for 40 years. I don't understand why Checkers would go out of business in, like, poorer areas, actually replacing White Castle.
Well, because I don't think people like Checkers.
Because it's a low-budget food in terms of fast food.
Yeah.
But it can't compare to White Castle.
It can't compare to the brand of Belly Busters. Yeah.
It just can't do that. And by the way, I was passing the McDonald's that I managed on East Fordham Road and Webster the other day and going to the wake for the slain police officer. They got a Checkers opening up across the street on East Fordham and Webster.
We'll see how it does, but I feel like for some, and I like Checkers fries at least, but for some reason Checkers always struggles. We'll now go quickly to Kitty from Elmhurst. Kitty, you're on Curtis and Ebony.
Oh, thank you very much. Curtis, Ebony, I have a comment for you.
We're listening, Kitty.
Oh, okay. Curtis is saying that the fast food restaurants, they're basically in poor neighborhoods. Curtis is familiar with where I live. I live directly across from the Queen Center Mall. We have more fast food places than any of those poor neighborhoods. It's not because they're poor that they eat there. It's because people don't like to cook anymore. They want to go. They want to get their food fast. It's self-gratification.
That makes
it's
sense,
not
Kitty.
About being poor
but,
or rich.
But you know what? There's some what we call like casual fast now. So, for instance, not your Mickey D's and your Wendy's, but say Chipotle, Panera Bread, those kind of middle range. But you can still get like a salad or something fresh. And you don't have to cook.
Well, you know, by the Queens Mall, what you're mentioning, Kitty, not far away, there was that Eddie Murphy movie, Coming to America.
That's right, at Wendy's.
That's right. Wendy's right there, right down the block, in which they took
now.
Right, they took it over.
White Castle directly across the street.
No, I know.
Popeye's right across the street from me.
Yeah, but the reason you have it there, the clusters of fast food restaurants there is, A, you have the mall, then you have the subway system feeding into the buses there. So they figure, yeah, people are going to want to snack on a little fast food before they get to either their work or their place of business or their home. That's why it's clustered up there. But I got to tell you, just based on my experiences in traveling the country, you can go to a poor neighborhood in which there are almost no commercial establishments other than liquor stores, which are a menace to those areas because they got them on almost every other block. And then naturally you have the convenience stores or the bodegas, whatever you want to call it, and the smoke shops. And then you'll have like a string of 8 different fast food restaurants.
Maybe the neighborhoods are changing, Curtis, because Popeye's right in my neck of the woods in Harlem just closed. And I was shocked, but maybe you're
See
right.
What you white people have done?
Who's calling who white? You're like the whitest person I know.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm blacker than you, Ebony K. Williams.
Wow.
There is no doubt about that.
We're going to have to cut that.
Ebony Williams.
That's right. I'm a hood rat compared to you.
You know what? You just want to be a BAP.
No,
white You want to be a BAP, and
look,
you're just mad that you can't.
White people invaded Harlem to take it from black people, and I'm not talking carpetbaggers like you from North Carolina, but people who are originally from Harlem, USA. And naturally, they don't want Popeye's there. So it's closed.
It's boarded up. I just walked past it 2 weeks ago and it was open for business. And now it's closed.
It's that white invasion. People like you. You may not be white in terms of your skin. You may have melanin, but man, you walk, talk, and act white 24/7, 365.
Oh, wow, Curtis. Acting white, huh? We're going to go there.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Turn it up.
The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Going straight to the phones with Guarino from Hackensack. You're on with Curtis and Ebony.
Hi. Hey, guys.
What up?
Love the show. I got to tell you guys are a perfect blend. It's not beauty and an angel. It's beauty and the beast.
Oh, are you calling me a beast, Guarino?
I know what the K stands for. It's knockout.
Oh, look at Guarino. I like this guy, Curtis. I like this one a lot. Go ahead, Guarino. Yeah,
but to go on, you are intelligent, you're knowledgeable, you're empowered, and to another intelligent man, there's nothing more attractive.
Mm.
Okay. that being said...
Boy, they were all sugaring you up, these guys.
I know, and you're just getting over bitter and bitter and bitter by the minute, Curtis. I tell you what.
Yeah, but Curtis, you're an inspiration. Your history of what you've done with the Guardian Angels, there's nobody up can tie your shoes.
Thank
from
you.
My perspective.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay?
Yeah, look his boots a little bit more so he can feel good about himself, Guarino. It's nice.
All right. That, give each one its due. But as far as the fast food, being middle class and the working class I am, I've drawn a line to where you couldn't get me to eat McDonald's or Burger King. I will wait till I get home and make my own food. I will start eating maybe at Wendy's and up to something better.
I agree.
I couldn't conceive eating McDonald's.
I agree. Wendy's is the bottom of the floor on that one, too. I completely agree with that.
Right.
So
yeah.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me if I was going to throw some coin out there and take you to a Burger King for the stacker, that's
gross.
Four patties stacked together, right?
Gross.
With all kinds of condiments and cheese and that. That wouldn't be mouthwatering to you?
To where? Wendy's or McDonald's?
No, Burger King. BK.
No, not a. Wait,
this is a high class situation.
Would you rather
Curtis.
Die than eat fast food?
I don't know about die, but apparently, Guarino, he'll die.
I won't die. That's the thing. I'm always prepared with some fruits and vegetables in my lunchbox that'll get me through the day. And I will. You know, I don't want to get caught. I never want to get caught in that situation where it's either McDonald's or nothing.
See, I always have my trusty Greek yogurt here with me, Curtis. You know, just like you. It gets me out in a pickle.
Let's go to Patrick calling from Union City. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC, Pat.
Hey, Curtis. Ebony. Ebony, Curtis is definitely blacker than you.
What?
You're more beautiful, but he is definitely blacker.
I can't wait. We're going to have a whole segment on this show about what constitutes blackness, because I got a problem with that, Patrick. But go ahead, Patrick.
You are not a hood rat. I am.
Okay.
So that's how we're defining blackness now? Come on, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, but to your point, if you say people putting these things in these neighborhoods, that's the market. If those people wanted to eat healthy food, they would. And I'll tell you the big secret, because everybody says, well, you can't get in those neighborhoods. You go to Chinese, they all have vegetarian platters there, they tofu. I don't think, poor people eat that, though. They want
Patrick, that doesn't count. They slather that stuff up with soy sauce and duck sauce and all that stuff. I would hardly call it vegetarian, Curtis. It's kind of disgusting.
There are products in a Chinese restaurant that are vegetarian.
No, not like fresh, whole vegetables.
I mean, they eat their fair share of pork like your peeps do.
I do love some pork. Does that give me some black points in your book?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you.
Because
I love
if it's fried and it's pork.
Not even fried. What about ribs? Those aren't fried.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. I like shredded pork sandwiches.
Ham hocks?
I make one. No, I can't get down with ham
really?
Hocks. No, bacon. Bacon, yes to bacon.
Oh, I say yes to bacon. Hold on. I'm looking at all these things. Hold on a second. And naturally, the cow innards you go for, right?
The what now?
The cow innards.
Are you talking about chitlins?
Of course.
Only from my grandmother.
See?
Only from my grandmother.
See, and she's
because
trying
she
to
cleans
establish
them very well.
She's trying to
I'm
establish
trying to earn back some black
her
points.
Hood rat.
Yeah, I'm trying to earn back
credibility.
Not hood rat. I just plain black is fine.
We'll have to get to this on another occasion. Up next. He's styling and profiling on the Hill. He'd like to become the next FBI director. And he's Chris Christie's homeboy, Shamu El Hefty.
New for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
.238 As we continue here, yours truly, Curtis Lee, and Ebony K. Williams. And as we speak to all of you, a brand new candidate to replace James Comey as the FBI director, Christopher Wray, is up on the Hill being asked questions in a Senate hearing. And it's interesting because Christopher Wray has quite the history in our neck of the woods. He was a member of the Justice Department for Bush 43. But more importantly, he was recently part of a phalanx of private attorneys and firms protecting Shamu El Hefe, Chris Christie, during the Bridgegate controversy, helping to prevent him from being indicted. and we'll get to it later on, but he was also the attorney who would not turn over Chris Christie's cell phone to the FBI. He obstructed.
Oh, come on.
But that's not the main issue up in the Senate today. In fact, let's face it, what they all want to know is, how would you handle a Donald Trump Jr. style situation? Meaning, if somebody was dealing with a foreign government trying to dig up dirt in a campaign, what should that person do, as Lindsey Graham asked him? Anyway, we'll have to pass on that. By the way, do we have any engineers here? You know, why don't we grab them in here and ask them? This is like 3 days in a row that this machine is frozen up. It's inexcusable for the number one news talk station in the nation, WABC, that this is a persistent problem in firing off cuts.
See, Curtis, this is why you got to take a mental health day. This right here.
Mental health day? I'm going to kill people around here.
Exactly.
They act like, hey, no biggie. No biggie. We can't fire off cuts.
Yeah.
One of the pieces of evidence.
Can we try to get that cut up to the best of our ability? All right, let's pass on this. This is a waste of our time playing these cuts. And I want meetings with the engineers after the show, or I will kill people here.
Yeah, because he's probably going to have a conniption. But, you know, I was listening to it. First of all, I want to say that I was watching. We have the hearings on behind us here in the studio, Curtis. And maybe not relative to the actual confirmation process, but Chris Wray, he's a pretty good-looking guy. And I think the FBI tends to run better when an attractive man is at the helm.
Oh, so
I just
you
want to say
at,
that for
you're like Donald Trump. You're looking for somebody from central casting.
Pretty much, that's the first thing I'm going to analyze, and then we'll get to the nitty gritty because I think you're being quite hard on our dear friend Chris Wray. I mean, Christie was a paying customer. Why is it his fault just because Christie was a scumbag that he was representing him to the letter of the law and happened to get him off? What's the problem there?
But let me remind you, Ebony K. Williams, during the entire Bridgegate scenario, the closing the lanes, and then we saw that the cooperator today was given probation. He's given no jail time.
That was probably worked out. Nice, smooth deal.
And yet, Christie's two minions, they're taking the hit.
Taking the heat, yeah. They're better than me, because I would have flipped on Christie.
They're eventually going to go away to jail unless they can win on an appeal, which doesn't appear to be
they're
likely.
They're going away.
But at a certain point, when investigators from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Newark were looking for Chris Christie's phone, his cell phone, to determine what he knew, when he knew it, and what he knew.
That's right.
Chris Christie said he no longer had possession of the cell phone.
He turned it over to his lawyer.
Right. And the lawyers claimed that they didn't have the cell phones.
Well, right, which was probably, no, it was lying. But I got to tell you, Curtis, if I'm your lawyer and you give me some incriminating evidence to hold for you, I'm not going to turn it over to the feds, to the investigators. Because that's breaching our privilege. See how that goes? So we don't have to like it, but he was just being a good lawyer. I think he's giving the guy a hard time.
This is the guy you want to be the FBI director. A group
I would have to question him like everybody else on the Hill. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to hold his representation of Shamu Chris Christie against him.
A group of FBI agents came to the offices of Christopher Wray, who was one of many attorneys that Chris Christie lawyered up at great taxpayers' expense in New Jersey.
You've got to have a team.
And they said, we hear that you have possession of Chris Christie's missing in action cell phone. We need it.
I'm not turning it over. No.
He would not turn it over.
That is, if he had turned it over, Curtis, do you realize he likely would have ended up possibly going in front of the State Bar Association, possibly losing his law license? That he's then skirting with unethical issues as being of counsel.
Okay, so then how do you suddenly flip the script and say the same person who obstructed justice
would
not
turn
over Chris Christie's cell phone? Because that would have answered a lot of unanswered questions.
But who is he representing? He's representing Christie. You're going to what? You're going to tell on your own client? That's what kind of lawyers you want out here?
Let's find out from our listeners. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
If what you're suggesting takes place, Curtis, I mean, my people already hate lawyers. We just might as well just go throw ourselves off the bridge. Because that's the one thing you can trust about your lawyer, that your lawyer will take your secrets to the dirty grave, and that is privilege that you can trust.
All right. Well, the number one question, which we don't have in audio form, but I'll sort of try to give you a little brief synopsis.
Oh, a bootleg. Okay, thank you.
Lindsey Graham questioned him and said, as FBI director, what would you expect of a citizen who was receiving information from foreign sources about what could be harmful in an election process here in the United States.
Which was a setup leading question from the good senator from South Carolina.
Right, about the Donald Trump Jr. Situation.
Yeah.
And Christopher Wray said, I would expect that person or persons to turn the information over to the FBI to report it to the FBI.
Sure. Well, again, that was a setup from, and I like Lindsey Graham, but that was a complete setup. Had nothing to really do about the confirmation of Chris Wray. That was to make Donald Trump Jr. and Donald Trump by proxy look bad. That was the whole point of the line of questioning. And by the way, I don't appreciate that in these settings, Curtis. I don't like people using these confirmation proceedings to further a separate political agenda, which is what Lindsey Graham was doing.
Yeah, but look, that was the right question for the right time, particularly to find out what this new potential FBI director would suggest to the rest of the nation. Then he was asked, did anyone ask you to take a loyalty oath? As you were being asked to become FBI director by Donald Trump, the president of the United States. And he said, nobody asked me that. And he continues to be cross-examined. But you like him because he's styling and profiling and he fits central casting.
He looks good. That's the first thing. But other than that, again, Curtis, I really trust that if someone is operating in the capacity of legal counsel, they can then switch gears. And that's basically, I think, what you have an issue with, that this guy is attempting to switch gears back to being fair and objective and working on behalf of the people versus working on the behalf of one individual. He was in private practice then, Curtis. He was working at King Spalding. He was hired by Christie and his team. He was doing his job. Why can't he go back to before when he was a prosecutor on behalf of the United States and operate in that capacity? Whereas he says on the Hill today, my loyalty is to the Constitution and to the rule of law without fear, without favoritism, and certainly without regard to any partisan political influence. Why can't you take Chris Wray at his word?
And then he was asked by a different senator whether he would do what James Comey did and have a press conference if he wasn't necessarily
happy. That's a good question.
With the Department of Justice decision on a particular case that affected the FBI.
That's a good question.
He said, absolutely not. I would follow all rules and regulations of the Department of Justice, which means I would take my orders from whoever was the Attorney General at that moment.
So he wouldn't be shining. And you're talking about profiling like Jim Comey and convening all the cameras and lights on him. Well, that's good to hear.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Vinny, who's calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Vincenz?
How you doing, Curtis?
Oh, I have definitely had better days because I am going to kill people here. Engineers, so-called techies, our staff, if I ever have to go through this again.
Vinny, let me tell you something. You should see the faces of our board ops producers and intern right now. They look like they are shaking in their boots because Curtis should have took a personal day today. Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, I like the look of your face, Ebony, because I watch Fox News, so I know why you're on Fox. But
exactly, central casting, right? Okay.
Because you are on Fox. Listen, so he gets an email that says it's going to be damaging to Hillary Clinton, and he wants to hide that? What's to hide? Let everybody know, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
But see, that's the point, Vinny. I agree with you. So then if he's not being transparent, he is hiding it, it makes people question, well, maybe there's more to it.
Definitely. So just be out front with it. Say, yeah, absolutely. If it helps my father, there it is. Right there.
Yeah, but that's what he should have done the moment he was confronted by the Washington Post.
Correct.
Or excuse me, the New York Times. Instead of doing this rope-a-dope, oh, it had all to do with the adoption problems when Putin ceased and desist any future adoptions because he was having a dispute with the United States. We know that that was garbage, that was malarkey, right. That was nonsense. It was all about trying to dig up dirt on Hillary, which, quite frankly, Hillary and Podesta and their tribe
the same thing.
Would have done exactly the same thing.
100%. 100%.
Right. Absolutely.
This is the dirty rules of American politics and really international politics. We'll go quickly to Mike from Milburn. Mike, you're on with Curtis and Ebony. Mike, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, darling, you're on.
Oh, my goodness. Ebony, I understand your position with attorney-client privilege as far as not divulging information that was revealed to you by your client. However, if I'm given evidence and then I destroy it by wiping clean all the text that Christie had received, I have destroyed evidence. And that is quite different than the attorney-client privilege. I am not allowed to destroy that evidence.
No, that's true. You can't destroy the evidence, but you also don't have to turn over the cell phone, correct, Mike?
That's correct. But since it's a public, you know, phone, and that, but that information is, at least from what I've been told, has been wiped clean, so it's not available. And had it not been wiped clean by the attorneys, we'd be looking at a very different
situation. Well, we're presuming that it was wiped clean by the attorneys.
Come on,
right? Maybe Christie. No, I'm just saying maybe Christie wiped the phone clean, then gave it over to the attorney.
You know that got wiped clean.
Of course.
No, I know it got wiped clean. I'm just saying.
And what do you think? It fell in the toilet?
Well, it's like with Tom Brady. Remember, his phone got wiped clean before he handed it over to the Patriots?
Exactly. We know damn well he did that.
But Brady did it, right? Not Belichick, not the people that he gave it to.
Oh, no, I don't think Chris Brady. Christie. No, I think, in fact, Christopher Wray and that phalanx of attorneys said, we've gone through your phone. This is damaging. Let's wipe it clean.
You hate lawyers. You think a lawyer is going to be willing to put their bar card on the line for Fatso Christie?
They're liars.
But they're going to go before the bar for Chris Christie? Because I'm not going to go before the bar for
fat money by the sucker taxpayers in New Jersey to save Shamu El Jefe from indictment and possible prosecution. And instead, his minions got to take the rap.
Well,
our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect,
a great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
As we discuss the hearings taking place in the Senate for a possible new FBI director, Christopher Wray. Oh, I am going to completely lose my mind here. I am going to kill everybody here at WABC.
I really believe that this is all a sign. That's what this is.
No,
you
know what we're going to do?
This is a sign.
Old school, Ebony, before you were born, playing with your Barbie doll in your Barbie doll house, we used to have carts. Mm. You used to put a cart in when you would want to play a soundbite.
Oh, so yourself, the host would do it manually.
Well, the host could do it, and we would eliminate the job of Brian Mongalooch. That could be done.
Okay.
Howard Stern does that for himself, and others have done it in this field. And we may have to go back to the old school way of doing things in order to do a more professional broadcast instead of getting all these cockamamie excuses why technology doesn't work.
So is this your way of trying to get me to do more work? Is that what it is?
No.
You're upset with my status?
No, I'll be more than happy to do the work.
And you want me to
I used to do the carts.
Girl?
I used to prepare the carts. I used to go through the carts before the show when we did the morning show with one of my previous wives. I forget which one. It was Angels in the Morning.
I love it. And you would actually
put the cart into the machine and would fire off the cart and you wouldn't have problems.
I'm going to surprise you, Curtis. I'm into it. I know that you think I'm a spoiled little black American princess that doesn't like to get her fingers dirty. But you know what? I was raised to work really hard. So let's maybe try it.
We may have to do that.
Let's try doing our own
carts. Because obviously people around here don't seem to care.
And screening up. I can screen the
calls,
too.
Management doesn't care. Engineers don't care. Techs don't care. Our staff doesn't care. Every other day, it's a different problem with this system. And I promise all of you listeners, it will never happen again. Because I'm telling you all right now.
Curtis is going to lose his mind.
If this is not corrected within the next 24 hours, I will not be here. It will be the Ebony K. Williams Show. And it will be the Drive at 5 with whomever they want to use.
Curtis, I'm going to miss
you. Oh, you got to throw down the gauntlet here.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
You know, they're all on vacation. They're all taking personal days, man. Mental health days, it's summertime, people putting lotion on at the ocean, they're going to barbecues, they're having their margaritas, they couldn't care jack diddly squat.
Yeah, I know. And meanwhile, Curtis is just sitting here about to blow a freaking gasket.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will, because I got to come back, you know, the drive home at 5.
I know. Oh, and if it's not there.
And I got a whole program to put on with these same problems plaguing our system.
Well, you know what, it's going to be better tomorrow, Curtis. I'm going to be optimistic, we're going to be positive, and everything's going to be good to go.
I wonder, with the 7
tomorrow.
Train having so many problems today getting people from the Long Island Railroad hookup. What's worse, the MTA or our technology here at WABC?
Yeah.